We'll read that psalm now for our scripture reading, Psalm 138. Psalm 138, a psalm of David. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Thus far we read the word of God tonight. May God bless the reading of His word. On the basis of that psalm and the whole of Scripture, we consider the instruction of Lord's Day 9, following after the instruction in Lord's Day 8 concerning the truth of God, that He is the triune God, one in being and three in person. The Catechism examines further the truth that we believe in God the Father. What believest thou when thou sayest, I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth, with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt, but he will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body, and further, that he will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears to turn out to my advantage. For he is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in this Lord's Day, there are provided for us answers to many of the most profound questions that men like to ask. In every age and in every generation, men ask questions about life and the meaning of life. As men live in the midst of this world, they ask questions about the origin of the world. Where did this world come from? How did this world begin? Where did these rocks come from and these trees? And who made the stars? Did anyone make the stars, or the mountains, or the hills? And what about life? As man lives here in this world, he recognizes that there's a difference between the living and the non-living things in the world. And there's a sense of wonder that man has when he beholds the living things in the world. And he asks the question, where did that come from? Where did that life that these creatures that we see in the world come from? Who gave them life? Did anyone give them life? And looking at these things, man also asks the very important and fundamental question, is there a God? As man looks at this world in which he lives, he's really forced to ask that question. As he looks at the vastness of the universe, as he looks at the order in the universe and in the earth, he is forced to ask himself the question, did this all happen by chance, without any God? Or was this all ordered and made by a God? And so man asks that question, is there a God? Man not only asks these questions, but he struggles with these questions, ultimately finding no answer to any of these questions. We've considered the truth in the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 3 that God made man good in the beginning. He made man with the perfect knowledge of God. He knew God and he knew the creation that God made. He knew every creature and how every single creature fit into that perfect and orderly world that God had made. But we've also considered the truth that man has now fallen into sin, and that therefore he is ignorant, he is blinded by sin, he has an unbelieving heart in which he doesn't know the truth and cannot know the truth. And that means that man cannot, not through the study of the universe, not by scientific investigation, answer all of these questions that he asks. And if he does venture to answer them, and he does, sinful man ventures to answer these questions, if he does, he answers them sinfully. And he comes up with wicked theories, saying that this world didn't come about by the creation of God, the Creator, but this world came about by some big bang in the beginning. And he answers the question about God, saying, there is no God. And then, denying that there is a God, he comes up with the theory of evolution to explain the present state of the world. That question, where did life come from? Here's the answer that the natural sinful man gives. That life evolved from things that had no life. Non-living things evolved to the point that they became living things. Now those answers are not the truth. They are lies. We know the truth. We know the answers to those very important and basic questions of man. God has given us the answers in His Word, and I want to point you to the Belgic Confession in Article 2, our confession that directs us to the Word of God. The Belgic Confession says, God makes Himself more clearly and fully known to us by His holy and divine Word. We can't answer the questions ourselves. We only know the answers to those questions because God gives us His inspired, infallible Word. And then in addition to that, let's remember, the Catechism teaches us we believe the Word, we embrace the truth of God's Word, because God has given us faith. And this then is how we know the one true God, the triune God, whom we now confess as God the Father. And this is how we know that He is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. The children have learned Hebrews 11 verse 3, which teaches us this. Through faith, that is, through faith in the Word of God, we know that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. So we know where the world came from. We know who made the world. We know the God who is the Creator. But we consider this Lord's Day tonight not only to see the answer to these very important questions, the answer that we give by faith in the Word of God. We consider this Lord's Day tonight in order to see the connection between the truth, that there is one God, Father, that He is the Creator, with the truth of our salvation. This Lord's Day looks at the truth of God the Father, who is the Creator, as our Father for the sake of Jesus Christ, and as our sovereign Savior. And so, we consider tonight, for our comfort and salvation, our faith in God the Father. That's the theme for the sermon tonight, as we consider this Lord's Day, faith in God the Father. Believing in God the Father, we know Him, first of all, as our mighty Creator. Secondly, believing in God the Father, we know Him as our faithful Provider. And then thirdly, this Lord's Day holds out before us that we know Him as our loving Preserver. The truth of creation that we believe on the basis of the Word of God, it's very important for us and for our children to understand and to embrace. That's questioned today. There are people, and now not out in the world, who challenge the truth of creation as it's found in the Bible, but there are people in the church today who challenge the truth of creation as it is taught in Genesis and as it is taught in other places in Scripture, and who say this truth of creation is not really that important. What is important is that you have the truth of salvation straight, that you have the correct view of salvation. But if you don't have the biblical view of creation, you can still hang on to the truth of salvation. Well, as we examine this Lord's Day tonight, we will see that the perspective of the Heidelberg Catechism is different from that. To know God as our Savior, we need to know Him as our Creator. But there's something more basic than that we need to see. Not only do we need to know God as Creator, to know God as our Savior, but we need to know God as Creator to even know that He is. That He is God, that He exists. Whenever the Bible teaches us the truth of creation, it emphasizes, it connects that truth of God's work of creation with the very existence of God. In the beginning, perhaps we often think the Bible teaches us about creation. The Bible teaches us about the origin of the world. The Bible teaches us that there was nothing in the beginning, and then God made the world. But now when we think about the beginning and what the Bible teaches us about the beginning, we must not miss this. The Bible also teaches us that God exists, that God is eternal, that He is, that He was, and always will be Jehovah, the eternal God. When the children in 6th and 7th grade in catechism this year studied the truth of creation, their catechism book taught them that opening verse of the Bible is important for this reason. It teaches us that God is. That God is eternal, and that He made all things. That's the truth of the Bible concerning creation. God's existence must be established, that God is the eternal God, that He is God, and that He is the living God. In the beginning, then, let us not misunderstand the truth that we confess that all things were made out of nothing, to say in the beginning there was nothing. No, when we read this language in the Heidelberg Catechism that all things were made of nothing, let us make sure that we emphasize in the beginning was God. God was in the beginning. And beside Him, there was no other God. And beside Him, there was no other thing, no creature, no heaven, no earth, no time, nothing besides God. That's what we must teach our children. We must teach them that God is the Creator in order to teach them about the fact that God is the everlasting, living God. You see, that when man attacks the truth of creation, he is attacking the very existence of God. God wasn't needed in the beginning. God wasn't needed to create that first particle that was used in the Big Bang to bring forth the world and all that there is. The creation, if it doesn't depend upon God in the beginning for its existence, doesn't depend upon God now. God isn't needed to providentially care for and govern the things in this world. And in fact, according to unbelieving man, God isn't in the creation at all. God has nothing to do with gravity. He didn't make it. He doesn't control it. God has nothing to do with rain or with sunshine. God didn't make the sun. And God didn't make the rain. And God doesn't control the light of the sun or the falling of the rain. And God has nothing to do with what we considered this morning, according to unbelieving man, the birth of children. And therefore, God has nothing to do with man at all, with you or me. He's not in our lives. There is no God to trust, no God to worship, no God to obey, if God is not the Creator. And above all, and this is what man especially wants, if God is not the Creator, there's no God to judge. No God who stands over the world to judge men and women for the things that they do. But our confession tonight on the basis of the Word of God is that there is a God, and He is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And God has given that testimony, according to the Apostle Paul in Romans 1, to all men in the creation of the world. So that even as man looks upon creation, he is able to see the invisible power and Godhead of God. But those things are revealed to man so that he may be condemned and without excuse, not so that he may understand. For us, that we may understand the truth, God has given us His inspired Word. God has spoken to us very clearly and very fully in Genesis 1, Psalm 19, Psalm 90, John chapter 1. God is, God created the heavens and the earth. We must see Him. We must see Him in the creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. That means that as you and I look by faith upon the stars, we need to see the hand of God. And we need to say, those stars are God's. Those stars wouldn't exist without the Word or the power of God. We need to see Him when we look at the grass, when we look at the trees, when we look at the beasts of the earth, when we look at our children, when we look at ourselves. All these creatures are upheld by God who gave them existence. And of course, it's very important for our salvation. If there's no God who made the heavens and the earth, then there's no God to be our Savior. If there's no God who made the stars, the sky, and the sun, and the moon, there's no God to come to us in our misery to deliver us from our sins. We confess tonight, there is a God. He made heaven and earth. And He is our Savior. We confess that, knowing that He is the mighty Creator and mighty God of our salvation. We must see tonight. The Catechism displays that for us, and the Word of God displays that for us. The mighty power of God in creation. He is, we confess, the Almighty God, Maker of heaven and earth. When you look at the creation, the Scripture encourages us to look at it this way, and we do this. Who is it who stretched out the heavens? Who is it that placed all the stars in their places? Who is it who formed these mighty mountains and these vast oceans? Who is it that designed and fearfully made the human body, the human being, body and soul? And the answer is, mighty, mighty God. A mighty God who is able to do this in a mighty way. With His Word, He spoke, and it was so. He said, come into being, and that's all. That's all He had to do. Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be, and there was every creature that God willed to come into existence. Here too, this is connected to our salvation. That God is the Almighty Creator speaks to us about our salvation. First of all, because of the way that God created by that mighty and powerful Word. That Word, which is the second person of the Trinity, who powerfully united to Himself the human nature, became a man through the wonder of the virgin birth, who came to bear our sins, to make the payment that gives us salvation. Only, you see, only the mighty power of the God who is the Creator is the power that can save a sinner. We have to ask tonight not only who stretched out the heavens and who put the stars in their place, but who is it that can save a sinner? Who is it that can pay for sin? Who is it that can take away guilt forever? Who is it that can restore favor between God and wicked people? And the answer to that is that the very same power that it took to establish the heavens and the earth, that's the power that it takes to save men and women. Only the mighty power of God, the Creator, could cause a virgin to conceive. Only the mighty power of God could accomplish the incarnation, God coming in the flesh. And only the mighty power of God, through the death on the cross in our place, could pay for sin. And then too, only the mighty power of God could take hold of rebels, enemies of God, bastards who are no children of God, transform them through the redeeming work of the Son, Jesus Christ, by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, implanting them into Jesus Christ, uniting them to Him in the power of His life, so that they may be renewed as the children of God. We couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. Create the world? No. Save ourselves from sin? Transform ourselves into the children of God. The mighty work of the triune God the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And because He did it, because He created us, because He saved us through the redemption, the blood of Jesus Christ, and renewed us through the Spirit, we know Him as Creator, as Father, and as Savior. And then we know Him too as our faithful Provider. Again, to attack the truth of creation is to attack the truth that we can rely upon God to provide us with what we need, body and soul. We know the truth that God is able to provide us with all things, body and soul. We know the power by which God does that. That's called the power of providence. That's explained in the coming Lord's Day, Lord's Day 10, by the Heidelberg Catechism, in which we consider the truth that God is in control of all things that He has made in the heavens and the earth. He governs all things, first of all, for the glory of His name, and then secondly, for the good and salvation of His people. But we can't go to that truth without establishing first the truth that lies behind that power of God's providence. We cannot go to the truth that we know God is sovereignly in control of all things and provides us with all things necessary, body and soul, until we answer this question. Can He? Can God, by the power of providence, sovereignly govern and control all things in heaven and on earth? And the answer to that question is found here in God's work of creation. The answer to the question is, yes, God can control all things in heaven and on earth, so that all things will serve His purpose, work for His glory, and for our good, because He is the sovereign Creator. That truth applies to you and me too. If we could put ourselves in the position of Creator and take the credit for making anything in the world, then that would also give to us the power to govern and to control those things that we have made. But we know, of course, that the work of creation is a wonder work of God, a miracle. By definition, a miracle is a work that only God can perform. And so it's obvious to us, but something that it is important for us to take note of so that we appropriately humble ourselves before God. We don't control the sun because we didn't make the sun. And we don't control the rain because we did not make the rain. We don't control time. We don't control ourselves. We don't control the other people in the world around us, because we are not in the position of Creator. Those who deny that God is the Creator take control away from Him too. If God did not create the world, then He cannot feed the birds of the air. And if God did not create the world, then we cannot sing as we do in the Psalms that God sends the rain to replenish the earth. If God did not create the world, He's not sovereign over giving you and me daily bread or anything we need for our bodies. And if God did not create the world, as David is oppressed by his enemies here in Psalm 138, he'd have no reason to believe that God could deliver him and help him in his trouble. But the truth is, we confess tonight, God being the Creator of the world, sovereignly commanding the creatures to come into existence, has the right and the power to continue to govern the world and all creatures. Stands to reason, God has the power to command all creatures to come into existence by His Word. And you know that no creature can resist God when He commands. There's no creature that said to God during those 6 days of creation, "No, I'm not going to come into existence." All things were created according to the very Word of God, His powerful Word, where He commanded and it stood fast. That means that God also has the power by that Word to move the creatures, to say to the rocks, Jesus says this, if God would say to the rocks outside, "Praise me. Sing glory to my name." Those rocks would have to sing in obedience to the command of their Creator. Now the Catechism teaches us, as those who have faith in God, the Creator, to apply this truth this way. Because I know God is my Creator, He's my Father for the sake of Christ His Son, I rely on Him so entirely that I have no doubt but He will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body. And this is why parents need to teach their children about God as the Creator. Yes, they need to teach their children about God as Creator in order to ward off all of the heresies and the errors that are in the world and in the church, in order to protect their children from the God-denying philosophy of evolution. But parents need to teach their children the truth that God is the Creator, in order to teach their children to put their faith in Him. To tell their children God exists. He made the heavens and the earth. Now you believe in Him. Pray to Him. Trust in Him. As Christians, we do believe that there's only one God in heaven and on earth who made and controls all things, so that we know. And we have a need for our body. We know where to turn. When you need daily bread, and we do every day, then you as a Christian need to say, I'm going to turn to the God who made bread and ask Him for my bread today. And when you need clothing or you need shelter, those are the other things that Jesus mentions in Matthew 5. And you need those things. And Jesus said, God knows you need those things. And then Jesus said, and He'll provide them. Now why can we trust that God will provide those things? Exactly for this reason. He's the Creator. Made those things. Therefore He is powerful and able to provide those things. But we also know that we have someone we can turn to provide us with the things we need for our souls. Believing in God as the Creator, you know that you have someone that you can turn to for the powerful blessing of the forgiveness of sins. Believing that God is the mighty Creator, you know that you have someone you can turn to when you are struggling with sin, a besetting sin. And you know that you cannot overcome that sin yourself. You can turn to the powerful God who made heaven and earth and renewed you in the image of Jesus Christ. And we know who to turn to when the world turns its attention upon us and persecutes us. David knew. What am I going to do now with my enemies turning their attention to me? persecuting me, seeking to destroy me for my faith. And they're mighty enemies. They're the kings of the earth even who are against me. Ah, I know someone mightier than them. I know the one who made them. Turn to the Lord. He'll provide me with deliverance from persecution. It's His will. Or He'll give me the strength to face that persecution and persevere. We experience, as those who have faith, that God provides us with all that we need, body and soul, when we look to Him. And we experience what David experienced in verse 3 here in Psalm 138. In the day when I cried, Thou answeredst me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Knowing God as your Creator, your Father for Jesus' sake, you know He's the faithful provider of the things you need in His creation. But then more, you know that He's also the loving preserver. The Catechism teaches us to apply this truth that God is our Creator and our Father by saying this too. We rely on Him so entirely that He is going to provide, but then further, that He will make whatever evils He sends upon me in this valley of tears turn to my advantage. For He's able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. When you look at God through the Scriptures, in the face of Jesus Christ as your Creator, and for Jesus' sake, your Father, you need to see these two things that the Catechism places in front of us. The mighty power of God. We've been considering that. But now also the faithful love of God. God the Creator in awesome might made the heavens and the earth. But He also did that in great love for the world. God loved the world and the creatures that He made. Now there's going to be a purging of this world. God is going to cast out all of the sin and all of the workers of iniquity that He hates. But God so loved the world that He not only created it, but He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem the world, to purchase it so that it might be recreated to the glory of God the Creator. And God, as a Father, is also a God of power and love. In eternity, mysteriously, gloriously, God gives life to the Son as the Father, eternally generating the Son, eternally giving to the Son His life, sharing that life with Him. Doing that in love, calling Him Son, and the Son calling the Father, Father. There's power in love in God's own relationship with Himself, but it's also demonstrated in His relationship with us. As Father, God has powerfully redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ, powerfully quickened us to be His children. And you know what the Bible says? You must see in that also His love. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should receive redemption through His Son, and that we should be called His children. Well, then you know, God can. He can command all of creation to serve our salvation. The Catechism says very powerfully in two ways. God the Creator can command the creation so that all evil is prevented for your good, if God determines That's for your good. God so rules over your life and mine that He can say to that disease, that cancer, I command you not to go to him or to go to her for his good or her good. And God so rules over our lives that as we're driving down the highway, when it might appear that a car crash is imminent, that God is able to say to that car, that person driving next to you, don't crash into that person. Prevent it for your good or my good, if He so determines. And God can also control the kings of the earth, the Antichrist, who shall arise. And He can prevent the Antichrist from gaining power and command the Antichrist and the Antichrist of this world and say, I command you, do not touch my people. God is able to prevent persecution of the church. But God is also, the Catechism says, even more powerful than that. God is able to send. Oh yes, He sovereignly sends. He can send the evil, and He can turn it for your advantage and profit. God can say to the cancer, go, afflict him or her, and use it for your good. And God can, in the car crash, or by some other means, bring some great tragedy in your life. Maybe death. Maybe your death. Maybe the death of your husband, or your wife, or your child. And He can use that for your salvation and good. And God can, indeed He will, in the end of the age, use the devil and all of the powers of the anti-Christian kingdom to persecute His church, to put His people to the hurt, and use that all for the salvation of His people and His church. God can, oh yes, as the Creator, bend all things in heaven and on earth so that there isn't one thing that happens that isn't for our good. But here's our comfort. He will do all these things. He will, because He is a loving and faithful Father. We're not faithful. We're unfaithful to Him. We turn away from Him every day. But He is our Father, not for our sakes, but for the sake of Jesus Christ and for the sake of His eternal love. And therefore we depend upon His strength and His love, as David expresses here at the end of the psalm, in verses 7 and 8, though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou wilt revive me, Thou wilt stretch forth Thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. And Thy right hand, that is, Thy power shall save me. And then verse 8, and the Lord will perfect, oh yes, He'll preserve that which concerneth me, Thy mercy. And read that literally this way, Thy loving kindness, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of Thine own hands. And there's our comfort. We are the work of the hands of God. It is He that has made us in the beginning. It is He that has redeemed us through Jesus Christ. Our powerful Creator so loved us that He will perfect the work that He has started in us. Now you rely on Him. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy Word, for the truth that Thou art the God of all power, creation and salvation, and the God of all love in Christ Jesus and our salvation. Cause us daily to look to Thee as the only God of our life, the God of our salvation, the God who provides us with everything, body and soul. And may we experience the blessing of Thy provision and of Thy preserving grace. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.